Good evening. This is your host, Reverend Carolyn McCullough from Arlington, Texas, and we're listening to Let's Do It Radio. You can find Let's Do It Radio on the homepage at doitallinthemall.com, the only place where you can shop for anything you need online and find great listening entertainment all in the comfort of your home. Do It All in the Mall is an online shopping mall providing over 5,000 stores. We earn a commission when you shop that goes back to your communities. Let me say that again. We earn a commission when you shop that goes back into your communities and not into our pockets. So the more you shop, the more funds we build by your shopping. Where your money matters because it goes back into our community and in your community. So please shop with us, because we can make our lives better and make our lives matter all at the same time. Making a difference nationwide, take a tour and shop today. If you like what we are doing here at Let's Do It Radio and would like to donate to www.doitallinthemall.com or Let's Do It Radio, you can find our donation button on doitallinthemall.com homepage. The email address is doitallinthemall@yahoo.com, and you can reach us by calling 509-406-6920 or 817-729-0543. If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, the call-in number is 845-241-9985. To call in and chat Tuesday through Friday. No call-in on Sunday. The call-in times are 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. At this time, we're going to have a song for your listening pleasure.
It is His will that every knee Let me hear you. You need me.
You need me.
Oh, we're all.
We're all.
Engage in our Bible study for today. Thank you for joining us today. And we'd just like to say welcome to each of you for being here. And we are going to study chapter 49 of the book of Genesis. And before we do that, I'd like to introduce Reverend Rodney McCullough, who is one of the associate ministers also with Spread the Word Ministries. And we have on the line Reverend Eric Broadway and Reverend Lil Broadway and Sister Eileen Whitney. And they all will be sharing as the Lord leads in our discussion. So Reverend Rodney is going to bring us up to date with where we are in the book of Genesis. Again, I've said we will be studying chapter 49 today. So he's going to bring us up to date with where we are right now. Reverend Rodney, please come on.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Father God, we thank you for this blessings, and we ask that you would bless us in our study. We pray, God, that you would lead, guide, and direct us. Please forgive every sin. Allow your spirit to control this study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have never read any books in the Bible, Genesis is a book worth reading. And I hope that's not to be true and not the case, but Genesis is a fascinating book. Genesis starts out talking about the creation and how God created everything. 6 days rest on the seventh day, placed Adam and Eve in the garden and populated the entire garden and the entire earth, the entire world. We saw the first sin and how Satan came on the scene as a deceiver, deceiving Adam and Eve. But then in the latter part of Genesis, beginning at verse number 37, all the way through verse 50, we see a story that unfolds. And I mean, I don't believe there's ever been a Hollywood motion picture, screenplay, or whatever written that could really measure up to what we see in Genesis. We see suspense. We see jealousy. We see attempted murder. We see lying. We see a woman wanted to have an affair. We see false imprisonment. We see backstabbing. But more than anything, we see God's hands operating. We see how Joseph went to the pit from the palace and how Joseph's life was turned from tragedy into triumph. Jealousy. Joseph's brothers was jealous of him at a very, very young age. Attempted murder. Joseph's brother wanted to get rid of him because of their jealousy. Some of the brothers wanted to kill him, and others said, no, let's sell him, have him sold into Egypt. The brothers went back and lied to their father, telling them that their younger brother had been attacked and killed. When Joseph got to Egypt, Pharaoh's wife wanted to have an affair with him. Joseph resisted and rejected the affair. And because he did, it ended him up in prison. False imprisonment. Genesis has a little bit of everything. In prison, Joseph meets the chief cupbearer and the chief baker and did some things for them. He was able to interpret a dream that they had, and he asked, when you get out of prison, I just only want you to remember, please tell somebody about me that I might be released. Backstabbing. They didn't even tell until Pharaoh needed a dream interpreted. And it was remembered. It was this young boy in prison that could do it. But more than anything, we see God's hands operating in the entire book of Genesis. God's hands is moving in the background. I said Joseph went from the pit to the palace because his brothers placed him in a pit, but God lifted him up out of a pit and placed him in the palace, placed him in the penthouse, placed him to second in command in all of Egypt. I said Joseph went from tragedy, what could have been tragedy, to a triumph of life that allowed him to save his entire family and the whole area when famine hit. In verse 48, we saw where Israel, Jacob, blessed Joseph's grandson. But the important thing that Jacob did was he reversed the blessing. He gave the younger brother the first blessing, when customarily the blessing would go to the older son. But he blessed the younger son first. Joseph didn't understand it, but Jacob knew exactly what he was doing. And so that brings us up to chapter 49, where we will see tonight how other sons of Jacob will be blessed, and we will go into that being led by Pastor and Reverend Carolyn McCullough.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Rodney, for bringing us up to snuff. We thank you, thank you, thank you, and we want all of you to know, as he said, this is a great book to read and to follow through. So we will pick up from chapter number 49 tonight, but I want you to get your prayer requests ready. We're going to hear a song in just a little while, but I want you to get your prayer requests ready, because before we end Bible study tonight, we're going to have a time of prayer, and we are praying. You may send your prayer requests to Let's Do It Radio, and we are able to receive your prayer requests there. So if you will, please let us know what your prayer requests are. I'm a living witness. Prayer changes things. And I have been praying with my family every day while my brother has been ill, and I have watched our God change things for him. And just the prayer praise report today, he has been taken off of dialysis. He has been taken off of the ventilator. And we give God all of the praise. So we say hallelujah. If you need the Lord to do something for you, all you have to do is commit it to the Lord in prayer. And he will do it for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. At this time, we will have a song. The presence of the Lord is here. Hallelujah. It is here. Praise God.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The Spirit of the Lord. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I can feel the presence of Look at somebody and tell them right now. Tell somebody else behind you, I've been waiting for a long time. Tell them, buddy, it's my turn. Tell somebody, it's my turn. I'm going to get a blessing. The presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is here. Some of y'all don't believe that you can get a blessing in the presence of the Lord. But is there anybody who just knows that when the praises go up, the power comes down? Whatever you stand in need of, it's in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Take your seats tonight. But I feel his presence. Okay, y'all stop doing that because y'all going to make me want to shout up in here. Hey, glory, glory. Hallelujah. What you shouting about? Why are you shouting? What are you shouting about? What are you shouting about? What has God done? Oh, somebody get ready to walk into a miracle. Come on.
Tonight, you're going to get your blessing from whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. So as we enter into the reading of the word tonight, I ask that you get your paper and pens ready. And as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, as we're reading through the scripture, jot it down, bring it back, because we're all teachers. I'm just the facilitator. And we're all teachers, and the Lord is going to bless us all tonight. So we just thank God for what he's doing tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we bless you, and we honor you for the opportunity to study your word. Now we need your forgiveness of our sins, and we need the comprehension of your word. Only the Holy Spirit can interpret your word for us. So fill us with your spirit now and allow us to be on one accord as we read through and share your word tonight. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. Reading verses 1 through 18 of chapter 49. And as we looked the last time, Joseph's children were blessed by Jacob. And tonight he's going to bless his own children. And I want you to take notice of what he says to his children. take notice of the candor and how he freely speaks truth to them, and then jot down anything that the Spirit speaks to you as you are hearing what the Spirit is saying to us tonight. Then Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather around that I may tell you what will happen to you in days to come. Assemble and hear, O sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the first fruit of my vigor, excelling in rank and excelling in power. Unstable as water, you shall no longer excel because you went up onto your father's bed, then you defiled it. You went up onto my couch. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Weapons of violence are their swords. May I never come into their council. May I not be joined to their company. For in their anger, they killed men, and at their whim, they hamstrung oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He crouches down. He stretches out like a lioness who dares rouse up him. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and the obedience of the peoples is his. Binding his foal to the vine and his donkey's coat to the choice vine, he washes his garments in wine and his robe in blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine and his teeth whiter than milk. Zebulun shall settle at the shore of the sea. He shall be a haven for ships, and his border shall be at Sidon. Issachar is a strong donkey lying down between the sheepfolds. He saw that a resting place was good and that the land was pleasant, so he bowed his shoulder to the burden and became a slave at forced labor. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a snake by the roadside, a viper along the path, which bites the horse's heels so that its rider falls backwards. I wait for your salvation, O Lord. I have read for you verses number 1 through 18. And at this time, we will engage in review and discussion. Hallelujah. So, if there's anybody on the line who would like to share as we're talking, we're engaging in conversations together. So, when you come on, you may identify yourself, say where you're calling from, and give whatever the Lord lays on your heart to share. And what we find here today is that Jacob is blessing his children, but he's also recounting for them from their past. He's telling his family what God has done for them and how God has blessed them. And he's also seen some hard places with them, but he's sharing with them, and he's now at the end of his life, and he's preparing to die. And as he's preparing to die, he's preparing to bless and share with his family So when he closes his eyes in death, he knows that he's able to realize that his family is going to be okay, irregardless of whether they are having hard times or not. So he gets them to come close to him so that they can hear what he's saying. And he starts in order. And I remember when we were growing up and got into trouble, our mother would always whip us in order. And so he's starting with Reuben. He tells him he's my firstborn, but he's also going to tell him about what he did wrong. And you see, Reuben defiled his father's bed, meaning that he got with his father's wife. So that was not a good thing, but he went on and shared with him that that is going to be following him. And Simeon and Levi are brothers, and they are considered weapons of violence. And he said, may I never come into their council. May I not be joined to their company. For in their anger, they killed men, and at their whim, they hamstrung oxen. So they sound like were pretty strong-headed men with anger as an issue. And so he shared that with them. Is there any additional comments at this point?
Reverend Carolyn, yeah, about those two boys, you know, that's when the guy's name, when they were out there, it didn't go where they were supposed to go, and the man raped their sister Dinah, and Simeon and Levi, they kind of took things up on themselves to get revenge, and led those men into sit. The man could have the hand of their sister if all of them were circumcised, and so they were in agreement with it. But they got everybody kind of off course, and once they circumcised them, they knew that the men of the city were weak. So then they took advantage and killed them. And that's why Jacob is talking about here is he's telling them what's going to happen in their future. Because of that, he didn't want to be, you know, he didn't want to be hooked up with that part.
Well, and so thank you, Reverend Leah. So what you're sharing is that the things that we do in our past can sometimes come back to haunt us, and that's what their father is reminding them or telling them, that that's what is going to happen to them. And so they, through their anger, killed men. And so the Lord our God has brought us to a better place in our lives through Christ Jesus, to wherein we are instructed to get angry but sin not. So we don't want to be guilty of sin in our lives through our anger, because anger will lead us to places we do not want to go.
That's right.
And I was talking with my son earlier today, and he said, take the emotions out of it, take the emotions out of it. So we don't want to have our emotions in place that could cause us to be led to a different direction than we really want to go.
Right.
Or allow us to be able to have to deal with things differently if we had dealt with it when we're more calm than not. So emotions will make us respond and be sorry for what we've done.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will.
And that's what I hear you say. Anybody else have any comments? In verse
well, Pastor
7,
Carolyn,
cursed be their anger, for it is fierce and their wrath, for it is cruel. Anger can be fierce, and anger can be cruel. And so it's always a good thing to be able to back away and then come back and count down from 10, 9, 8, 7, just time to calm ourselves down so we can go back to thinking and thinking rationally. Amen. Someone else started to say something?
Yes, Pastor Carolyn, that those two young men or men that I'm not sure they're not young, but those two men, the killing of the other men was being pointed out in a way that it displayed that those two were good at what they did, and they viewed it as just something to do. It was more, the way they explained it there, it was more like it was okay to kill, and it was pleasure in the killing. It was not just a killing of men, but it was a pleasure taking in killing of men. And then it points out about the oxen, that they kill an oxen just for sport. So they kill the men in the same manner. It's just for sport. Even though they were angry, they let their anger build in such a way that it displayed it run things. It just took over. That's what Jacob was saying there, Israel. He was letting them know that their anger had become so fierce, and that it was, they took pleasure in the anger that caused them to kill others.
Well, that's a very good point. And another point I want to make as you are saying that is the same way with sin. Sin will keep us there when we're doing something and we have gotten away with it and it feels good to us. We can wind up enjoying it. So as you're saying, they did what they did, and it was fierce and it was cruel. But then when they got to the oxen to go through it with the oxen as well, now they're experiencing some likes of being able to kill. And so that's probably why I'm sure he's saying, cursed be their anger. So you don't want to be in a place of erroring too long, because when you go there, you wind up doing things that you're not comfortable with. It's kind of like a person who's a thief. If you get away with stealing the first time, you may do it again and get caught. So it makes it easier to keep doing it when you've not been caught, if that makes sense to you, what I'm saying. When you dibble and dabble and get away with stuff, it's easier for you to keep dibbling and dabbling because you have gotten away with it. That's the point I'm trying to make.
That's right. I agree with that.
So it's anything that we do.
It's kind of like people, they do things there and think God don't see them. God don't hear them. God don't know. And because he don't strike them time they do something wrong, they think they've gotten by. So they keep indulging in whatever it might be.
Right, right. And that, I call that living on the edge. And so we don't want to be in a position of living on the edge. And as this father is talking to his son, I am impressed with the fact that he's sharing with them in an honest way and telling them exactly who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's difficult for parents to be honest when their children are wrong.
Yeah.
But this man is putting it right on the line, is he not?
Yeah, and I like the way it says there in that verse 7 that I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel, because he's saying in the flesh he'll divide you, but in the spirit you'll be scattered in Israel. Because
mm-hmm.
was his name is Israel. He was the beginning of the nation and all his
mm-hmm.
sons. So it's amazing how the Holy Spirit is going back and forth from the flesh to the spirit, so to speak, from Jacob to Israel, from Israel to Jacob. And so
mm-hmm.
that lets me know, I think, how the Holy Spirit works with us. Because the Spirit of the Lord, I think, is the one that's really speaking to these boys, telling them about their future. But he's speaking
mm-hmm.
and
through
and,
the Father, but the Spirit is speaking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty clear when he begins by letting them know, and he uses the name Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it appears that he uses the name when the Lord changed his name to Israel. He uses the name when he's needing to speak with them from a more prophetic perspective.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
That's what I think.
Yes. And then verse number 8, Judah, your brothers shall praise you. And, you know, Judah, the meaning of Judah is praise anyway. Your
mm-hmm.
brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey, my son. You have gone up. He crouches down. He stretches out like a lion, like a lioness who dares rouse him up. I'm sorry. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and the obedience of the people is his. So Judah is going to have some prophetic anointing on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
well,
he's going to be able to do a lot as it relates to praise and worship of God.
Mm-hmm.
And leading others along the same category.
Yeah.
Now, when it talks about his eyes are darker than wine and his teeth whiter than milk, as I'm thinking about that, you know, our sins are like crimson, but he will make us what?
Whiter
than snow.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter who we are, when you fall prey into sin, he got the right to clean us up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think he's talking about when he said he washes his garments in wine. That would be the allegory for the blood in his teeth whiter than milk.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause what does the blood do? It washes us.
Yeah, it cleanses. Mm-hmm.
Whiter than what? No.
Mm-hmm.
Is what the word says. So the
mm-hmm.
blood cleanses us. And then he goes on to talk about Zebulun shall settle at the shore of the sea. Go ahead. You started to say something else.
I was going to also add that Judah is, we identify Jesus as the Lion of Judah. And Judah is where Jesus comes from. He comes from that tribe, the tribe of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed your version says tribute, and mine says Shiloh, which is another name for Jesus. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So that part right there, I think, is identifying Christ.
Mm-hmm. Until tribute comes to him and the obedience of the people is his. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then let's skip down to verse number 13. It didn't say a whole lot about Zebulun other than where he would settle, and he shall be a haven for ships, and his borders shall be at Sidon.
Mm-hmm. It didn't say much about him, did it?
No.
Mm.
Didn't say much about him at all.
Uh-uh.
Mm-mm. Okay. What did you start to say, Rodney? No. Can we unmute Reverend Rodney, please? 8141.
Not, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out, no, not a big issue, but I just wanted to point out in the listing of the sons, Zebulun is listed first before the next one you're getting ready to talk about, Issachar. And Issachar was actually born first. So the order is out of order a little bit right here. Not sure of the significance of that, but it is out of order because Issachar was born before Zebulun. But go ahead, maybe we'll see what unfolds.
Well, and that's a good point, but Jacob let us see that he knew what he was doing when he blessed Manasseh in Ephraim. He knew what he was doing, so I'm sure he still knows what he's doing.
Right.
Issachar is a strong donkey lying down between the sheepfolds. He saw that a resting place was good and that the land was pleasant, so he bowed his shoulder to the burden and became a slave at forced labor. Anything strikes any of you there about Issachar? Then we're getting ready to talk about Dan. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a snake by the roadside, a viper along the path, which bites the horse's heels so that its rider falls backwards. I will await for your salvation, O Lord. Now, as we think in terms of the snake and the snake biting the heels of the horses, you know, snakes bring about a lot of evil stuff. It's the representation of evil. So, Okay. Amen. So do any of you have any other comments there? We're going to read now verses 19 through 33. And Sister Leah, would you care to read that, please?
Give me the number again.
19 through 32.
Okay. Gad.
It really is 33.
To 33?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. Joseph is a fruitful bog, even a fruitful bog by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have surely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd the stone of Israel. Wow. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the beast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. And all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Every one according to his blessing, he blessed them. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephraim the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephraim the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife, and there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heath. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet in the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people.
Amen. So what do we see? We see that this man is blessing, pronouncing a blessing upon his sons, which is also a prophetic word to let them know what is going to happen to them in the future. And also he is preparing this at a time that he knows he's getting ready to die.
Uh-huh.
And I think it is a wonderful thing to be prepared to die. And I have had the experience, you might have heard me say this before, I've had the experience of seeing people ready to die. And it is a beautiful thing when you are prepared to go.
Yeah.
And so he's preparing because he knows he is the last of the big names, other than Joseph, the last of the big names before his offspring to leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm sure this is why the scripture is ending, reminding us as to who is going to be buried where, and he's telling them that even he buried Leah there. But he had already made him promise. He made Joseph promise that he would not bury him in Egypt and that he would take him to the land of Canaan. And so
that's
he's
right.
reiterating that in this passage as well.
And Reverend Carolyn, I see where Joseph was the one, from reading this here, that got the double blessing. Because Jacob, he remembered, he brought forth and mentioned everything just like he did with the rest of the boys, everything that had took place in Joseph's life. So he was the one that received the double blessing.
Well, but Joseph was also the fruitful one, the one that had gone out and made the way. And despite the fact that he was already taken advantage of, God still allowed him to be able to bless him even more, because he was the one who also brought his entire family to Egypt to be blessed. So, and I think when you see what it's saying, yet his bow remained taut and his arms were made agile by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, by the name of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. So Joseph is being seen as a pillow, a rock, a person who has been a major blessing to the family.
I agree with that.
Amen. Amen, Reverend. I see him. I see Jacob, Israel, as a strong father. As I look over this whole chapter that you just went over, I see him as a very strong father. I know he's a godly man because his whole life has been in God's hands and led by God. But I see him as a strong father because I see him as a father who cares about his family, because he's calling all these boys together and he's getting ready to share with them. And the thing that I'm so impressed by is how well he know each of them. And you know, a lot of times folks have children and they know, we know our children, but he really has gone into depth with these boys. And then the other thing I like is he's not afraid to share the good and the bad, because everything he's sharing is not good. It's not good news. So he's not afraid to give it to them straight and tell them what's going to happen in their lives. And so he, to me, and what I would want to say to all of us who are listening is that I think he's a perfect example of how fathers should be. In this present day, you know, we should be able to give it to our children straight. And we should be led by God and be godly men and women, and be able to call our children together and bless them. I like the fact that he blesses his grandchildren. He blesses his son. He speaks and pronounces a blessing upon them. And I believe that's very important, and I believe it is missing from a lot of households today. And so we need to go back to blessing our children, praying for our children. I remember somebody said at night when their kids go to bed, they open the door and walk around their children's room and just pray for them, pray over them. And I believe that's a good practice. It's something that we all maybe should get back to, especially fathers.
Yeah.
Amen. It's a good practice for all of us, you said, but especially fathers. So Yeah, because, you know, we all have a place, a role in the family. And the father's role is so important, and I am reminded of how you looked at the study once, Reverend Rodney, and shared what happens when families worship together. I don't know if you can recall that at this point or not, but it would be good to share it again.
Amen. Amen. I can vaguely. I'm gonna try to remember it. It said that when it was addressing families and what happens when families go to church and give their lives to Christ. And it was, and I can't remember where I read it out of, but it said when children. Just suppose you have a family and the child or the children starts going to church, because back oftentimes parents would drop their kids off at church and wouldn't go themselves. And so just what the service said was when children went to church and when children gave their lives to Christ, it was like a 3% chance that the rest of the family would give their lives to Christ, meaning the parents. Since when the wife went to church and gave her life to Christ, it was like a 17% chance that the father would come and the children would come. But it says when the father went to church and gave his life to Christ, it was a 98% chance that the wife and the children, the entire family, would come and also give their lives to Christ. So the survey was showing that fathers, the family fathers the fathers often. And so that was a striking statistic for me, 98% when the man of the house gives his life to Christ as it relates to a child. It's only 3% chance that the others will come, and about 20%, 17 to 20% when the wife does it. So that's huge. That's huge for us as men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very huge. And I think the study was done by the Baptist Association, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might be right. I want to look that up again, because I always want to give my source whenever I give statistics. So I'll look that back up and maybe be able to share the source the next time.
Very good. But anyhow, it's important. And again, God is a God of order, and He did not ordain or design the family the way that He did for nothing. And He meant, that's why it's so important for us to tell people and instruct people, especially when they are getting married, that marriage is so very honorable unto God, and it's a very sacred sacrament unto God, and we need to present it as such when we are putting couples together in marriage. We want the man to know that God looks at him as really the head, and then He looks at the wife as a partner, not saying he is the head that lords over the wife, but he is the one that is in charge of the family. And then the wife and the father or the husband are together making decisions for the family. But when you put that man out front doing what needs to be done, and I think all women would want to have a godly man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are, you want somebody who loves the Lord.
Amen.
You prefer to have that. You know what I mean? And so there's a lot to be said there. So at this time, do we have any other questions or comments? We're going to listen to another song, Lord, You Are Good, and get your prayer requests ready, because we're going to pray until closing time after this, and we want all of those that we've been praying for, or if there are families who want to be prayed for, please send your prayer requests in. So our director will now play Lord, You Are Good by Todd Galbraith.
I was sitting in the kitchen and I was like, Lord, what am I going to do? I have all these responsibilities, all this going on, and it seems like I'm doing everything I can for you and everything is just going opposite. Anybody ever been there where it seems like you were doing all you knew to do until you took 2 steps forward and you took 5 steps back and you're saying, God, what in the world is going on? And I was sitting in my kitchen and I didn't understand it. And then these words came. I said, Lord, you are good. You've been so good. Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough. Even if I try, 'cause you've been so good.
Lift your voice. Come on, tell him today.
You so good to me.
Let's go right here. Everybody lift up your voice.
Lord, you are good. You've been so good.
Come on, say, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough.
Because I owe you, Jesus.
I owe you.
Somebody say, even if I tried, it wouldn't work.
I was sitting over the dishes with tears in my eyes, and I had to declare out of the hard place that you've still been better. I can never repay you, Lord. I can never repay you, Lord. I can never repay you, Lord, for what you've done for me. How you loose my shackles and how you set me free. How you made a way when there was no way. How you made a way when there was no way. How you made a way when there was no way. Oh God, you made a way. Cause you've been so good. Come on, lift it up. You've been so good. Oh. Right there, right there. Let them hear your heart in that tonight. You've been so good. When I almost lost my mind, you've been. When the enemy came in like a flood, you've been so good. Everybody lift your voice, say, so good.
Take this time to enter into a period of prayer. Reverend Rodney, if you will you pray for our country, political leaders, and Reverend Lil, will you pray for pastors and leaders in ministry, and Reverend Eric, will you pray for all of the children who have died from coronavirus, and I'm going to pray for the sick and shut in, and racial injustice. So we can go on. We have a very short period of time, so let's go ahead on and pray.
Amen. Amen. I begin, Reverend. And thank you for requesting a prayer for the political leaders in our country, because that is so needed. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence one more time for prayer. We ask forgiveness of all of our sins. Father, we know that you know our hearts and you know all about us. So we pray that you would look upon us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Allow us one more time to stand in your presence and to offer up prayers that you will receive, O God. Please lean your ears towards us that we might be heard by you, O God. So we thank you again for this opportunity to call on your holy and your righteous name. And I come calling on you, praying for our country, O God. I come praying for all of our political leaders, O God, at every level, the local level, the state level, the government level. I ask, God, that you will bless their lives, but more than anything, I pray, God, that you would draw them unto you, that they all might become saved individuals, O God, saved by your blood. I pray, God, that you would allow all to ask, what must I do
to be saved. And I pray every house, every member of the House of Representatives, all of the senators, our president, oh God, all of those in the cabinet, I lift them all up to you right now, oh God, and I ask that you bless their lives. Then at the local level, I pray for our mayor, oh God. I pray for our governor at the state level, all of our officers. I just lift up to you right now, oh God. Then I ask a special blessing for our country. I know we are living in difficult times, times that we have never seen before, oh God. We are going down uncharted territory, oh God, with this virus. And I pray in Jesus' name that you will allow strength to be the order of the day, and that you will continue to draw all of us close to you, and that you will allow us to trust you and to believe that you are still in control. So I thank you, oh God, for your goodness, your grace, and for your mercy. And I thank you for the faith that you have placed in all of us who know the power of prayer and how, and we know how to call on your name. So I thank you, oh God, because this is only temporary. You will show yourself to be powerful, and you will show yourself to be true as you eradicate this virus and all of the other things that are harming our world. Again, I thank you for all that you're doing. Bless now as only you can. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Reverend Lil.
Precious Lord, we just thank you for the day, Heavenly Father. We give you all the praise and glory. And Lord God, we bring all the people and clergy to you now. We've started at the top and ask that you will be with the bishops and the elders and the presiding elders and the priests, dear Lord God, and the pastors and the shepherds, all of the clergy. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus, for you have called and you have placed. And so, Father God, I ask that you will equip them with what they stand in need of today. If they may be have taken a sidestep, dear Lord God, and left their first love, I ask that you help them to return unto you in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, oh Lord God, that you will raise them up, that you will elevate them a little bit higher. Help them to come to know, oh Lord God, that the work before them is not yet finished, that we still must be about our Father's business. I ask you in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that you will help us to get real busy and do the work that you've called us to do, to get the word about Christ and him crucified out to a dying, sinful world. Lord God, help us to realize that only God can, only you can fill the things that we are trying and working overtime to get filled. Only you can bring them to pass, oh Lord. Only you can bring peace, oh Lord God, through Jesus. Only you, Lord God, can answer and do the things that we stand in need to be done. But we must get busy and tell the world, oh Lord, about Jesus. So I ask you, Lord God, that you'll raise us up, that you will call us, convict us, oh, in a great and mighty way, that you, oh Lord God, in Jesus' name, I pray, will not allow us to be slack, but help us to have much energy to do that, not even sugarcoating the word, but be able, Lord God, to tell the world what thus says the Lord, no matter what. I ask it in the name of Jesus, and I ask you, Lord, that any of the clergy that is sick, I ask that you will heal them now. I ask, Lord God, if they may be bound to something, that you will loose them now. In the name of Jesus, I ask them if there's any fear within them, that you, Lord God, will remind them that you didn't give them the spirit of fear, and that you, Lord, will give them that sound mind, that you'll give them power, and that you will give them love that they stand in need of. And Lord God, I pray that you will continue to watch over us, continue to teach us, continue to fill us with your spirit. If some may not have not yet been filled, I ask that this day they too will be filled. In Jesus' name I pray, and I give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Amen and amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Reverend Rodney and Reverend Lil, Reverend Eric. If you will pray for all of the children that have died from coronavirus.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we come. We ask that you would just cover the ones that have passed, Lord, that may not have had a chance, oh Lord, to even speak to you, oh Lord, in a way that acknowledged that you were Lord and Savior. We ask that you would touch them, Lord God. We ask that you would touch their family members, O Lord God, and cover them, O Lord, and let them know that there is a way to you, O Lord God. It says, suffer the little children to come. O Lord God, we ask that you would just take care of them, O Lord God. Those that might not have even known what a God is. Those that were small and maybe just born, oh Lord God, had to go back. You call them back, oh Lord. Cover them. Cover them, oh Lord. Cover those that are too young and had not been taught, Lord God, to worship you, praise you. Oh Lord God, I pray that you would have mercy upon them. Have mercy upon the families, Lord. Touch the hearts and minds of those that have been plagued by this disease, this COVID, Lord, the coronavirus. Touch them, Lord. Touch those that need strength, Lord, to go on right now. Touch the children that are sick right now, Lord God. Touch the families, Lord God. I pray. It says, ask and it shall be given. I'm asking, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, that you would just touch them, Lord. Make a way for them. Deliver them, Lord. Let them know it's all right, Lord God. Let them know that you have made means for them. Let them know that their hearts don't have to be heavy. But believe in you, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Eric. And I'm going to pray for racial injustice, violence in the world, and for the sick and shut in. Father God, I come to you with thanksgiving in my heart and praises on my lips. I just come before you now calling out the racial injustice that we are experiencing in our world. And we know, oh God, as Reverend Rodney already prayed, that if people are saved and filled with your Holy Spirit, that they will become lovers of one another and learn how to be more obedient to your world, oh God. Lord, we need a world that loves you, and if we love you, we can love one another. And I pray against all of the negative things that's going on against people based on their color, socioeconomic disadvantages, and all of the different classisms that we come up with. We ask, excuse me, oh God, that you will continue to make the wrongs right and help us all to be able to be accountable for our actions, O Lord. And so, again, we thank you for all of those who are sick and shut in. We have seen that you are a healer and that you want to heal people, O God. I pray that you help them to remember that you have not left them nor have you forsaken them. Thank you, O God, for the healing that you brought to me and my family. I thank you for the healing that you brought to my brother. And I pray, oh God, that you will continue to pour out your spirit upon them right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Amen. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I got a little strangled. But I am Reverend Carolyn McCullough. I have been your host, and thank you for joining us today. And please join us every day to listen and shop. You're listening to Let's Do It Radio, sponsored by doitallinthemall.com, the only place where you can shop, and a percentage of our commission goes back to your communities, making a difference nationwide. So sit down, take a tour, and shop www.doitallinthemall.com 24/7. You don't have to have a particular time frame. We are always open. Today, our call-in number was 845-241-9985, and we are calling in at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our schedule, Tuesday through Friday, no call-in on Sunday. Tuesday with Janet Swartz, political and up-to-date news. Wednesday with Reverend Carolyn McCullough, teaching from the Bible. And on Thursdays, hanging out with Sergeant Parks and keeping it real with black people. On Sunday, service with Reverend Carolyn McCullough and a guest speaker. Tuesday with Dr. Ralph Steele, Think Wealth. Thursday with Andre Pearson, Why Does Love Hurt So Good? And Friday with Tanya Johnston, Vitiligo Rock, and Philip Autoimmune Healing. And again, Sundays, join us every Sunday for our worship service with Reverend Carolyn McCullough and a guest speaker. I have been your host, Reverend Carolyn McCullough, and we're going to listen to another song as we leave here tonight. Again, thank you for being with us, and have a wonderful, blessed evening. Goodbye.
I need you to. Everybody. Let's lift our hands.